Cap.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Congratulations to Drew Brees, the all-time touchdown passing leader in the NFL, surpassing Peyton Manning last night in a good performance. No, it was a great performance. No, it was a master performance. No, I got to call him maybe even something better than that. 29 of 30, 307 down the field, four touchdowns, and record-breaking. Tying touchdown, breaking the record touchdown, and one for good measure. All right, so if you're looking and wondering, all right, well, where are we all in this? Well, there's a possibility that with Tom Brady at 358 and Drew Brees at 541, that these two could actually have some fun in the latter part of their careers, going back and forth. Brady may have a game where he throws four touchdowns and Brees may be out. And then Brady takes over the record, and then Brees gets the record right back. And then Brady takes it over again. Meanwhile, Peyton Manning is looking back going, yeah, I once had this, and it was fun while I had it, but I don't have it anymore. But we could actually have some fun with this as these two 40-plus-year-old quarterbacks are throwing TD passes left and right. The thing is that you want to know if they were into that kind of thing where they're like, man, I really want to hold on to it for a while. I really want to have it. Because when you go down the list, it looks like, you know, Aaron Rodgers has got a few more years on him. He might make a run at this, but, you know, Philip Rivers is close to the end. Eli Manning is very close to the end. Ben Roethlisberger is very close to the end. Matt Ryan, maybe. He's got 319. He's got a good ways to go, but nevertheless, it looks like if whoever's going to retire and if they were to retire with the record and the other guys out in the league could have it for quite a while. I think it could be fun. I don't know if either one of these guys cares. Records are made to be broken, all that kind of stuff. But it might be neat to see both of these guys back and forth because all time, I mean, Brees just leads Brady by three. I mean, Brady's one away from tying Manning and two away from breaking it as well. It's just that Brees got to it a little earlier. And Brees would have got it to it a lot earlier if he hadn't sat out for six games and let Teddy Bridgewater do some work. All right, top five, bottom five after 15 weeks of the NFL. Who is at the top? Because we've got a lot of teams with very good records, but who edges who? Ron and I will break that down next on SB Nation AM.
Kane is in the building.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Time for fun. Week 15 is in the books. And now it is time to give you the top five after all of these games and processing. Where exactly are we in the National Football League during the stretch run with 2 weeks remaining? So let's get right to it, Mr. Culver. You ready?
I'm ready.
I'm going to start with number five, and this is where I put the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, the Kansas City Chiefs have the, and I use this in quotes, worst record of the teams that I'm putting in the top five. They are 10-4. But they're really showing over the last couple of weeks what exactly could happen to opponents when they play them. They went to Foxborough and beat the Patriots. The Broncos were not, you know, it's not like they were world beaters or anything, but it was snowy and it didn't bother Kansas City whatsoever. They have won four straight, five of their last six. They're humming offensively right now. Patrick Mahomes is doing what Patrick Mahomes does, not as eye-popping and spectacular in terms of numbers, but efficient in getting wins. So I put Kansas City at five.
Okay, I can see that. I had the Patriots at five.
All right, back in the top five.
Well, they were number five for me last week.
Oh, I thought you kept them out.
No. I kept them in. I just kept them at five. And you know what they did? What they were supposed to do. They cheated and won and beat the Bengals. That's the Patriot way.
That's the Patriot way.
No, I mean, you know, should we have expected anything? The only thing, I mean, I thought about dropping him out of the bottom five or top five just because they seemed to have struggled in that first quarter. I don't know if they had, you know, they had studied that videotape correctly. But then they decided just, you know, hey, we're the Patriots. Let's just play ball.
And that offense still bothers me, but the defense is so good.
Yeah.
Still really good.
I mean, still going to keep him in games, and then, you know, I guess you're just going to trust Tom Brady in the playoffs? I mean, is that a thing to do, trust Tom Brady in the playoffs?
Yep, you're going to have to trust Tom Brady in the playoffs. It'll all be good. You're absolutely right. Number four on my team. By the way, I did not have the Patriots in my top five this year, so I kept them. This week, I kept them out. Number four, the 11-3 Seattle Seahawks. I wanted to put them higher, but I'm kind of keeping them at bay right now. I don't know why I'm doing that. I just, it's more of a gut feeling when I think of the teams that are ahead of them, and I say, you know what, I kind of like the way those other teams are looking a little bit better. But there's nothing wrong with winning six out of the last seven.
Yep.
They lost to the Rams, stunk, but it's not unforgivable. Things happen. They beat the Carolina Panthers in transition, but I could flip these around a little bit. I kept them at four. I think I had them at four again last week. Russell Wilson's MVP level playing and all of those things aside, I'm just keeping them at four.
That's respectable. Number four, this is where I have the Chiefs.
All right, good for you.
I vaulted the Chiefs weren't in my top five last week. I don't think they've been in my top five the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, that might be true.
And I vaulted them up to number four. One thing that's quietly going on, and I don't know if this is by the Chiefs doing or not, but they're riding a four-game win streak.
They are.
And during that four-game win streak, they're looking really competitive. Like they're looking like they're getting better and better each week and getting back to that Chiefs football that we saw last season.
Their defense seems to be getting better, too. It's still a little susceptible to the run, but it is tightening up a lot better.
But what the overall thing for me, though, was watching Pat Mahomes do Pat Mahomes things in a blizzard.
Yeah, I think that's why I put him in the top five. I said, God, you're not really to make it. You don't make it look like you're in a dome when it's snowy outside.
Yeah, I mean,
and he threw the ball well. They played really well in the snow.
The snow didn't seem to bother him. I mean, so much fun to watch someone just compete at that level in conditions that you're not supposed to compete at that level.
Yeah, weather can be kind of the great equalizer sometimes, bringing a team up and taking a team down a little bit, but the Chiefs didn't let that happen whatsoever.
Yeah, and for the Broncos, I mean, shouldn't they be used to the snow? It's been snowing there since August, right?
Right, exactly.
And they
look
lost.
My number three team on the list, all right, and I debated this because I was going to put them at four. I wanted them in the top five, but San Francisco. They're coming off a loss to Atlanta, but at the same time, Atlanta's having fun beating teams that are in this middle of this race. So, and speaking of which, Dan Quinn, if there is something going on in that locker room, just a sidebar for the Falcons, if something's going on in the locker room about trying to save Dan Quinn's job, they've won four of their last six in the second half of the season. So there's something cooking. I don't know. I don't know if he saves his job or not because they're still 5-9. I put the 49ers here because overall I still like the Niners. I think the loss to the Falcons stinks because it was at home. But losing to the Ravens wasn't an issue 2 weeks ago. I still overall think defensively, offensively, all of those ingredients, they're a really, really, really good football team that's going to make a deep run despite losing to the Falcons, which I'm not punishing them for. I could have, but I'm not. They're three.
Oh, you're a much better man than I, because I punished the Falcons or punished the Niners and dropped them out of the top five. You can't lose to the Falcons.
Yeah, well,
you can't lose to Dan Quinn, who's about to be jobless and pick up a defensive coordinator job immediately next season.
That's right.
Maybe he's going back to my number three team, Seattle. That's who I have. I put the Seahawks at three. Listen, you know what? They're just doing what they're supposed to be doing up in the Pacific Northwest. I mean, they're just winning games. Their defense seems to be getting better and better each week. The trade for Jadeveon Clowney looks like a perfect mesh for them.
That has really worked out.
You know, I mean, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just, hey, you know what? We play a harder brand of football up in Seattle than we do in Houston, Texas. I'm not sure if that's it. That doesn't even make sense, that statement, because Texas is football. But, He's playing great up there. And Russell Wilson, I mean, he's starting to do that Tom Brady thing where he's making names out of nobody.
Yep, that's right. And by the way, Pete Carroll did say Clowney will be good to go this week. He was out at the Panthers game, but he's been playing great all season.
Yeah.
But he's been fantastic. On one side note, I hope Josh Gordon gets better. I hope the situation where he got banned again,
We'll touch on him in a little bit.
Yeah, we'll touch on him in a little bit, but the addiction is a real problem. So, yeah. But that's Seattle for three for you. Number two, I might be drinking the Kool-Aid a little bit, but I put the Saints. Yeah. After last night, I put the Saints there.
I think our two and one are the same.
Yeah, I think so, too. I again, this might be just purely on the Monday night game last night, just in awe of what they did. I can't stress it enough. I've been talking about it all morning. I was so unbelievably impressed with that game. And listen, I'm not the kind of guy that gets caught up in the best thing I saw is the last thing I saw, that kind of thing. But boy, oh boy, do they look ready. They look ready to go. Saints at number two.
Same here. Saints at number two. I had them at number two last week, so I didn't really change much. Or no, I think I had them at three. I don't remember where I had them. I know they were in my top five, and they've been in my top five for a long time. This team, I think, is a complete team, and they seem to be getting stronger and stronger. Last night, I'm hoping it wasn't the peak, because I really, really want to see a healthy Drew Brees continue through the playoffs.
Me too.
I think it's an X factor that might be missing this season, or that we might need in the playoffs. Getting a little bit of history, or aging quarterback swan song, if you will, because I don't think Brady's going to be there at the end.
Yeah.
And it's just fun to see this guy, I mean, just putting up records that, aren't going to be, no one's going to be able to pass him.
That's right.
I say nobody, but I mean, yeah, eventually I know all records are made to be broken, but it was last night's game. I mean, yeah, there's Kool-Aid to be drank. I mean, everyone needs to drink the Kool-Aid, and we watched perfection.
I kept wanting to see more of it. That was the whole thing, right? It was just like, I just want to see him continue. This was fun. Again, if you're a Colts fan, I get it. But for me, just watching it, just to watch somebody's athletic performance play out that perfectly, it was really, really fun
to
watch.
Now, the only thing I will say this, during, I don't know if it was like his last two series, Breeze, when he was on the field, I could tell that, all right, you know what? They knew that there was a single game record to be had, and they just wanted him to get it.
Right.
They threw a safe screen pass that went nowhere.
That's true.
And everything else they did was just run. Now, you can play the gamesmanship saying, oh, we're just trying to eat up the clock. And then, insert Teddy. I mean, but that was the funny thing. They inserted Teddy Bridgewater, and I forgot that he was on the team. And I'm like, oh, my God.
I know.
He still has an undefeated record.
Absolutely.
I forgot about that kid.
That's exactly right. Number one, I didn't put the Ravens number one last week because I gave that to San Francisco, but I'm putting them back where they belong. So
yeah,
the Ravens are number one.
We're all drinking the Ravens Kool-Aid.
That's
purple.
Crazy.
It's going down smooth.
That Thursday night performance still is in effect for what they did against the Jets. So.
And it's amazing, when you think about that. I mean, what he did on that Thursday night. Usually, by the time that we had the weekend's games, we would forget about it.
Yeah, we'd move on to something else that really excited us or whatnot.
And there's just we haven't been able to forget about what he did on that Thursday night. It lasted for the entire weekend, and it set the bar for the rest of the weekend's games.
Yep. Remember when they were 2-2? They haven't lost since they were two and two.
Is that a loss? That was the loss to the Browns, right?
Loss to the Browns, and since then they've won 10 in a row. 10 in a row, and they're number one in the NFL in scoring. They're putting up nearly 34 points per game. That's incredible. And they're only allowing 18, which is good. So they're really complete. So they are the number one team. So that is the top five. When we come back, we're going to do the bottom five. Who are the worst of the worst after 15 weeks of NFL football? Next on SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we're going to get to the bottom five of the NFL after 15 weeks coming up. But if you need a last-minute gift, O'Reilly Auto Parts got you covered. They have several options for gifts under $20, like a digital tire gauge. That's awesome. A 21 multi-tool, storage containers, even a universal backup camera. That's even awesomer. Or you can get professional quality power torque tool sets starting at just $19.99. And who doesn't love gift cards? You can even buy gifts online, pick them up in the store. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Is awesomer a word? I've made
it
up two words so far.
Yeah, awesomer.
This is my morning. I'm rolling along. These are the worst of the worst. Bottom five. I'll start at number 28. Okay, I wrote down the Giants, right? And then I went, No. Why will I spoil the moment for Eli Manning by sticking him in the bottom five?
Yeah,
you get a pass. You know what, Eli? You won. You did it. You were great, despite three interceptions, but nevertheless, you won. People cheered. Standing ovation. Why would I remind you that your team stinks? Instead, I'll give it to your neighbors, the Jets. The Jets, you're at number 28. I don't know what else to say about the Jets, in terms, because I had to just shove somebody in there, taking the Giants off the board. So I'm going to put the 5-9 Jets, who got beat down by the Baltimore Ravens. But nevertheless, you're one of the five worst.
Yeah, there's respect in that.
Yeah. I'm not going to ruin Eli's day.
At 28, this is the first time I've had this team here.
Okay, go ahead.
Panthers.
Yes, I almost went there too. I thought it would be more fun to go with Jets taking the Giants off the board, but I almost went Panthers because they really stink.
Yeah, I mean, here's the situation with the Panthers, okay? I just mentioned a few minutes ago, last year we talked about how the Chargers had this quiet season where they were just, killing everyone and went to a 12-4 season.
Right, exactly.
More recently, the Chiefs have just kind of rebounded, but not really high on anyone's radar. But they just keep winning games, and they're getting better and better. The Panthers, on the other hand, I didn't realize this until today, that I didn't realize they have lost six games in a row.
They have lost six games in a row, and they're making a change at quarterback.
Yes.
To Will Greer.
Hallelujah.
So the Kyle Allen, oh my God, we don't need Cam Newton anymore. We got Kyle Allen, has turned into, oh yeah, yeah, let's go to the rookie out of West Virginia. The guy we drafted, I don't know where they picked him up, at second round or whatever it was.
800th.
I don't know. Wherever. He now is going to get the start so we can get a better look at him. Right? And Will Greer was drafted in round three. Good.
I mean, this is
he's now
up,
your starter.
Yeah, this is setting up something that I don't think any of us anticipated for the Panthers offseason. I mean, first of all, you fired your coach. He's done for. Ron Rivera's gone. Ron Rivera will be probably head coaching somewhere next season.
Right. Then, possibly in Cleveland.
Possibly in Cleveland. You got rid of
Dallas.
You got rid of Cam Newton. Or you didn't get rid of Cam Newton. Cam Newton has this injury that I guess is keeping him out for the entire season. It's just all of a sudden, once they said, hey, Cam Newton, you're out for the season, we never heard from the Panthers again.
That's right. And they also are likely to get rid of him for financial reasons as they restructure everything, since that seems to be where David Tepper wants to go as the team owner.
Yeah, he wants a clean slate of everybody.
Right.
I mean, maybe Will Greer is his guy because that was drafted under his watch.
Maybe so.
I don't know. I mean, because it seemed like to me, like, hey, they're all in on Kyle Allen.
Yeah, they were loving Kyle Allen because at one point they won four straight and five of six, and I think they were 5-3, and everyone was like, yeah, look at the Panthers, a tough out, and then six in a row, you're right.
Done.
So number 29, this is where I put Miami. It's like every week I got to put Miami somewhere. I don't know exactly where. Sometimes
at
the super bottom, sometimes in the middle of the pack. I'm putting you Dolphins here. You've got three wins, which is three more than I thought you were going to have this time. Boy, I was ready for the historically awful season, but, you'll still be right up there in the draft. Don't you worry. There'll be somebody there for you to take.
Yeah, I thought about putting Miami here, left them for a little bit later on the list, but here's where I put the Redskins. And I almost wanted to give the Redskins a pass, but they're still, what are they still, 3-11?
Yep.
Still
a three-win team.
Still a three-win team. Who knows who's going to be coaching? Like you said, might be Urban Meyer.
I don't know. Urban knocking on the door.
Maybe Daniel Snyder swoops in and says, no, I'm going to make sure Urban Meyer doesn't go to the Cowboys. I don't want to be facing that each week. We'll take him. And then he'll just be another great college coach that gets lost in the Redskins. Just not a good team.
Yeah,
just
not
really,
a good team
really
at all.
Just not a good team.
No. Number 30, this is where I put the Detroit Lions. They have lost seven in a row. Seven, losing to Tampa Bay over the weekend. There is a lot of problems with Detroit. They started out okay, 2-0-1 with that tie to Arizona, and since then it has been a tailspin. Now, there was chanting for Martha Ford, who owns the team, to sell the team. Robert tweeted us, chatter around has Amazon magnet buying the Lions in 2020. Rumor has it that he was seen two times at the Lions' offices. Stay tuned.
Bezos?
Is that Bezos?
Bezos?
Or is that another person on the Amazon upper-level billionaire chain? Because I'm sure there's a couple.
Is there anybody else in Amazon?
I don't know. I mean, there might be, is there any side investors that helped him out that are not $100 billion rich, but are like $10 billion rich?
Could it be his estranged wife?
Maybe so. Maybe so. Could be. She's got a boatload of money. She could buy an NFL team if she wanted to. So anyway, thank you, Robert, for the update on the situation in Detroit. And it's apropos that you did that because I have the Lions at 30 because they're losing games by a lot.
Yep, at 30, this is where I put the Dolphins.
Good. You shuffled them around like I did.
Yeah, I still feel that there's two teams that are worse than the Dolphins, even though the Dolphins, I think, they're a top five pick. They still have a top five pick.
Yeah, they'll be all right. Okay. They'll get what they want out of this deal.
Yeah, and then promptly trade them a year later.
Yeah, then it won't work, and they'll still struggle, and they'll be like, oh, my goodness. We have to build another way.
Yeah.
Find another coach and build another way.
They're just, I don't know. They're back. At least they're back to doing Dolphin things again.
Yeah, very true.
Back to that tank mentality that
we... Yeah, there was a moment we thought they were winning games and not great, but looking all right.
Trying hard.
Yeah, trying hard.
We didn't want them to try hard. We just want them to, go down. And listen, you let Eli Manning have his day. I should have rewarded you for letting Eli Manning have his day.
Right, that's true. That's true.
But I didn't.
Be in the way of the Eli Manning celebration. Just get out of here. Let Eli Manning enjoy the moment.
You had three picks. I mean, it's Eli Manning. You couldn't win. Come on.
Yes. Celebrate with style. Number 31, Washington is for me. That's where I put the Redskins. Again, just shuffling these lousy three-win teams around. But who knows what will happen in the future. Who knows? Dwayne Haskins, is he getting better? Because I'm not really paying attention. I'm sorry.
I don't know if you could say he's getting better.
Is he looking better at this?
I'll say this. I think he's getting more comfortable. I think he's getting comfortable knowing, hey, you know what? I better get rid of this quickly because I'm going to take a brutal hit.
Right. Yeah, he's got to work on that.
And then they'll just keep coming and coming and coming.
Well, they're like last in the league in passing, so it's not like he has a lot of, he doesn't have that much work to do. It's not like he's taking over for some injured quarterback that throws 300 yards a game.
Not like he took over and just, blew the team.
Boy, they have a real chance, though. At the end of the season, don't they, when they play the Cowboys, to be a little spoiler? Like Dallas could be like, well, if they win this game, they own the tiebreaker over the Eagles. It won't matter what Philadelphia does.
Let me ask you this. If that was to happen, if the Redskins beat the Cowboys, would you say it was the Redskins win, they won that game, or the Cowboys lost that game?
Oh, the Cowboys lost that game.
Yeah. The game hasn't happened yet.
Right.
But we're just predicting that that's how it would be.
So the Cowboys play the Eagles, and if they win that game, they'll have a one-game lead. So the Redskins could put the Cowboys in a position where they could beat them, and then the Eagles could win. But I don't know who would own the tiebreaker, so I'm a little two steps ahead of that possibility. Does that make sense?
I think the Cowboys would own the tiebreaker.
So if they beat Philadelphia, and it wouldn't matter if they tied the Eagles at the end of the season, because they would own the tiebreaker?
I'm putting it into the playoff machine right
now.
You
should. You should put it in the playoff machine.
Yeah. I'm just doing the NFC East teams. The Cowboys would still come out on top.
Okay. So I'm all right. So that little hope of mine goes down the drain.
They both end up 8-8.
Whatever. All right, 32 Cincinnati Bengals.
I didn't give you my 31.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You got 31, too. Go ahead.
31. Don't skip over 31.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
This is where I put the Lions.
Oh, good. You gave them worse than I did.
Yeah. This is a bad team right
really
now.
Really bad team. It was disappointing.
This is not fun at all. I mean, yeah, we were all high. I mean, the Lions beat the Chargers.
They beat the Eagles.
They beat the Eagles.
They were 2-1, 2-0-1, and looking like a tough out.
We were looking at that tie with the Cardinals the very first game of the season as somewhat of an anomaly for the Lions.
Yeah, like, whoops. Oh, you weren't really supposed to tie that game. You're supposed to win that game.
It was the first game of the season. You were still working out the rust.
To their credit, though, they don't have Matt Stafford, and they don't even have the wonder kid Jeff Driscoll now. They've got,
I don't know.
Drought?
Blau?
Blau.
Drought.
Blau, I think is how you pronounce it.
He might as well put it.
They have him. Blau.
Yeah.
32, Cincinnati. Do you Bengals. Got Cincinnati? Bengals.
Yeah.
It's not your fault, though. Some people need certain advantages. It's not your fault.
Hey, you're going to get a great quarterback
That's right. You're gonna get. You might get Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I'm almost certain Joe Burrow. You are.
Almost certain you're going to get Joe Burrow.
You got
a two-game lead.
Don't screw this up.
Plus, he's from Ohio. He goes back to Ohio. It's too perfect. Don't screw it up. Go get your quarterback. SB Nation AM.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it is the good, the bad, and the dumb for a Tuesday as we get closer to the end of the year. The jolly holidays making you feel good. This is going to make you feel even better. The good of the day.
Now, you know what? My good of the day. A lot of people are going to see this as bad, but I want you to look at it through my eyes, if you
will. Okay, no problem.
I'll just read the headline. High school coach in hot water for taking team to Hooters after devastating loss.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so apparently the school board, I haven't seen where parents are upset by this, but school board, snowflakes, if you will, are very upset with the, head coach for the Lake George boys soccer team. After the game, they were undefeated, and it was a championship sectional game, and they were undefeated heading into the game. The favorite to win lost to, God, this is a terrible city name, by the way, or high school. Voorheesville?
I don't know.
That's what it says.
Okay. Is it in New York? Okay.
Yeah, and so they devastated loss, and he took his team for some dinner.
And went to Hooters. All right.
And why he's getting skewered for this, I don't know. The coach has been suspended.
He's been suspended for this?
Well, the board, it's actually not yet. The superintendent is taking this seriously and will address it with the Board of Education. They plan to take action. No news on what the action is just yet.
That's interesting. I don't know how I feel about this. I mean, maybe it was the only place to eat.
We don't know all the circumstances.
Yeah, we don't really know all the circumstances.
But I'm going off the good because I had a high school soccer coach that would have done exactly this.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
He would have taken us all to Hooters if he possibly could.
I used to do remotes at Hooters. There was always teenagers there with families.
Yeah, hey, they have great wings.
Yeah, it's not the Playboy Club, for crying out loud. It's, you know, it is Hooters, but it's not. It's not like it's a strip bar. It's got good food.
It is.
Now, if he was caught saying, you know what these boys need? They need some Hooters and not just the wings. That'll cheer them up. Then maybe we got a problem with the board. Like, maybe that is actually something that would have to come to the board.
I haven't really heard from the coach. There's not much being heard from the coach yet.
So there could be two sides of the story. One where it goes, Coach, where would you like to go to eat? Man, these boys, you know what they need? They need to see some waitresses at Hooters. Let's get to Hooters and go to Hooters. I don't know why I just gave him like some sort of big accent.
He probably does.
Or it could be.
He's probably a big wing guy.
Where do you want to take these boys? And he goes, you know what? There's a Chili's or an Applebee's or something. Let's go there. And they go there and they're like, oh, it's going to be like a 50-minute wait for a party of, you know, 20 kids. Yeah, we don't have the room yet. It's going to take a while. Okay. And he goes to another place and they go, yeah, we can't really accommodate. We're busy and it might take an hour. All right. And then he go to Hooters and like, yeah, you know what? We actually have a banquet hall that's open in the back and it's not being used and you guys can sit back there. And maybe that was the case. So I don't know. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. So that's the only thing
I think you should.
You know what I mean? Like maybe, you know, our town is loaded with restaurants and every football Friday, there's a team that leaves one of our high schools and is always stopping there. And I always say to myself, on a Friday night, these restaurants are busy. I'm like, I wonder if these kids get in. These football teams, can they even get in on a Friday night? And sometimes they go to the one restaurant that does have the room in the back that's not open except for private parties. But, you know, tonight we'll take care of you back there. Maybe that was the case. We don't know.
We don't know the whole story.
So we don't know the whole story. So.
But I love the fact that, I mean, if it is just on the broad sense of, hey, I wanted to give my team a little pick-me-up.
Yeah.
That's a great coach.
That's exactly right. But I will say, in my opinion, just my opinion, the act of taking his team to Hooters is not a dismissible offense.
Right.
if there is something about that that they can say, you know, he was really trying to, you know, take him to Hooters to cheer him up, then maybe. But just without the circumstances of why they went there, that alone isn't with, you need some context. You need to find out what's going on. Because he was trying to get his team fed, and maybe that was the only place that would take his football, his soccer team. So, all right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, I have one of my biggest pet peeves is sitting in traffic.
I can't stand it.
And I came across a story. I didn't know this was happening in Paris, but the transportation, like the metro lines, those guys are on strike.
So the metro is on strike in Paris?
Yes.
Oh, this must be a major problem.
It caused a record yesterday, 391-mile traffic jam.
391 miles?
Yeah. Now, I'm venturing a guess that it's not like one way.
You know? Okay, so what they did was they looked at the traffic jams and said, that goes 10, that one goes 6, that one, and they just added up a whole bunch of deep lines of traffic
because
and it added up to that.
Out of all the trains that are in the Paris metro area, two are working because those two are operated by are not operated by people.
Oh, my God.
And then they do have, like, I think they're saying something like two other trains that are operated on people, but very limited capabilities.
That's terrible. That is terrible. Here's what happens to me every time I'm in traffic. So if I'm on a highway and I'm going someplace, right, and I'm on the highway and I get stuck in traffic and I'm okay usually in the beginning. Then I get more and more frustrated. Then I get really, really frustrated. Then I really start getting like, come on, let's go here. Then I pass usually like some major accident where someone's gotten hurt. There's an ambulance there or whatnot. And I always say to myself, hey, man, get some perspective. Next time you're in this traffic jam, don't think like this. And then I get in the traffic jam and I think exactly the way I was before. I never learned from that example. I always get frustrated and then I say, oh man, somebody got hurt today. Like somebody may be dead. Like relax when you're in these things. But then I go right back and do it again.
I grew up in Southern California. So living in the LA area, there's traffic all the time. I can't stand it. I found every single back road from where I lived into the city area of and even to the airport. I found every single back road, every back way you could possibly to avoid traffic because you're sitting on a freeway, not moving, and there is no accident. There is no prize at the end. And I hate to use it in that term, but a lot of times, like now, if you're sitting in traffic, there's a prize for you at the end. You might see a mangled car. You know,
right, it's you like might somebody go, oh, there's the reason.
Yeah, somebody's having a bad day, but you know what? I haven't seen a car sitting on its roof before. That's kind of neat.
Yep.
This is public transportation is down. They have two working trains because they're not run by people. They have 14 other trains that are completely shut down or running on very like slim operation.
And that's
so it's caused a 391 mile traffic jam. I mean, probably this what I'm picturing in my head right now, and this is why it gives me like the chills thinking about this, is somebody you just waking up, you're going to work like you normally would. And you're stuck in traffic into probably a trip that normally would take you anywhere from 45 minutes to maybe 90 minutes. All right, I'm ballparking here because sometimes traffic can be bad. But maybe this trip is taking you 3 hours.
Yeah, that's right.
At what point do you just go, you know, forget this, I'm going home.
I can't do it. I got to go home.
Call.
Exactly.
I'm working from home. And then for those people who just take nothing but the train, maybe they don't have a car. Paris is a huge city.
That's right.
I picture Paris to be like New York City. I've never been to Paris. I have been to New York City. I'd venture a guess to say 60-70% of the people there don't even own a car.
That's probably true. Maybe that's true.
And they completely rely on public transportation. Imagine if New York City subway said, you know, we're on strike.
Yeah.
And this is the 12th day.
I know. That's 12. God, that's terrible. That is terrible.
Probably going to be worse today. Or maybe, I mean, at what point does it start affecting businesses going, you know what, where the boss man is saying, hey, take today off because I can't even get in.
Our town over the weekend had its Christmas Day parade, its annual Christmas parade, and it shut down the main strip. But that also means all the back roads are loaded up because people can't go on the main road. And so my son was going to work and I said, you might want to leave early. The back roads are going to be all jammed with people as they're all going to be they can't go on Main Street. And he goes, okay. And then when he came home Saturday night, he goes, yo, he's 15 minutes late. And I just laughed at him, laughed and laughed and laughed. And I said, all right, yeah, that now you'll learn. Now you'll learn. Yep. I was, you know, stop not believing me when I tell you that this, you know, when Main Road is shut down, traffic is terrible. You're going to be, it's going to be awful.
Yeah, because it's not you just trying to find a different way. It's everybody else trying to
That's
find a
exactly
different way.
Right. That's right. Nobody can go on a particular road, or in this case in Paris, nobody can go on the subway. So everyone's on the street.
Yep.
And they're on the streets that you go, oh, I'll just take this road. Nope. Everybody's on
that road. No, everyone's on that road. Everyone's thinking like you.
So what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, okay, there's two ways to think of this, okay?
Okay.
The dumb of the day is the Josh Gordon situation.
Yes, yes.
If it's this, if he got busted for using PEDs, then dumb on Josh. If
completely.
If he got busted for a drug other than marijuana, dumb on Josh.
Pills are something that he's been addicted to.
Right.
Yeah.
If this is because he smoked marijuana and is being suspended, dumb on the NFL.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at the three possible scenarios of what Josh, because they did not give any details.
Yeah,
there's no
just
other
said
details.
He's suspended for
performance enhancing or substance abuse.
Yeah.
Right.
And
knowing one.
Josh, it's substance abuse. And
right.
His history with substance abuse has always been marijuana.
Marijuana. That's
and
right.
And NFL, you go look at your brother over at the MLB.
Major League Baseball they've stopped testing for this. They're stopping punishing for this, whatever. They're not doing it anymore.
Yeah. It's not as bad. I mean, we're not busting people for drinking alcohol. And I know, and I don't really see weed being a performance enhancer, except maybe it makes you more relaxed.
There needs to be, and I've been saying this for a long time, I'm going to keep pounding that drum, and I don't care. I know there's going to be difference of opinion on this, but I don't care. There needs to be a conference. There needs to be a power meeting on this between the union and the NFL, and actually have a real discussion. Bring in players. Bring in former
further.
Players. There's got to be some sort of presentation on marijuana that is reasonable, that these two sides can come to some reasonable consensus on its dangers, its benefits, whatever, that the league has concerns. I get it. The league's not going to say, hey, y'all can just smoke it up. We don't care. But the union has also got to say, we are in a changing society and you're taking away paychecks and opportunities based on this,
right?
Based on this.
Well, I mean, this one had all the writing on the wall. You're sending Josh Gordon to Washington,
absolutely,
Seattle.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was only a matter of time before he was like out with the boys one night and like, oh, look, there's the club. Man, it's calling me.
Yep, exactly. And there's just got to be a real consensus on this, a real meeting just on this issue to really talk about it. Bring in a guy like Nate Jackson, the former Bronco tight end, who is an advocate for how much that helped him alleviate the pain. Let him tell his story. You may not believe it, you may not buy it, but at least let him speak to say what he has had to say on it. Bring other players in who have no problem sticking up for it, and let the league also extend its concerns. What are we concerned about by if we don't punish for this, if we don't test for this? What's the NFL side of this story? Have everybody hashed this out? Because I think there is, because the marijuana policy right now is getting really outdated and crazy, if indeed it's that. Now, I don't know if it's that
right.
With Josh Gordon.
If he was using steroids, if he's popping
right.
pills, if he got busted because he was using cocaine or crystal meth. That's why I say dumb on Josh.
Right.
You know the rules. I mean, we're not, that's, but if it's marijuana, come on.
I know.
NFL.
I agree completely.
This is getting too redundant. And
because
this guy's career is being tarnished because, you know, he likes to smoke weed. Maybe it's helping him alleviate pain. Maybe he has anxiety that, you know, it's almost a prescribed thing for him.
Yeah, and look, we're not saying that you gotta have a trainer give a guy a joint while he's, you know,
right.
at the facility. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when the guy goes off into his own world, in his own home, and he does it, and if he's subject to the laws of that state, so be it. Some aren't, some are, okay? That's just, but the league can say, you know what, we're not testing for it anymore, and we're not punishing for it when we do test.
Well, that's what
that's all we want. That's all I want.
That's look, what, if, where I had the issue with, too, is that a guy can go ahead and he can drink a whole bottle of Jack Daniels every single night.
Right.
And we're not going to even bat an eye.
Right.
At the, you know, the NFL is just like, well, I don't care. He can drink as much as he wants. But you take one hit from this, you're busted for two games, season.
And
done.
It doesn't matter if you live in Colorado or Washington or any other spaces that's legalizing it. I agree completely. All right, that's the good, the bad, the dumb. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue along on SB Nation AM.
listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, and this hour of SB Nation Radio. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Sorry I went a little long on that last segment. I'm very passionate about that issue.
I am too.
I just think that it's just about time the NFL steps in and changes its policy on marijuana. And this is coming. I don't smoke it at all. I just think that there's a changing time. And I've talked to too many players over the years who have advocated for it as a pain reliever,
especially
and it's better
the
than
NFL.
The pills. I mean, look, when I was in Denver, Nate Jackson, and the reason I brought him up was Nate Jackson is a real, you could find his writings online about it. He's a real proponent on this. He's an advocate for it, for player use. He said it just was so much different than the pills that they would give him, like by the handful. You know, after games to relieve pain. He said that never worked. That created a lot of problems for me. I never liked the addictive nature of that. He goes, but being able to the marijuana eased a lot of the chronic pain I felt. And I didn't buy it at first, and then the more I looked into it and read more and more about it, I just went, I'm on that side of the cause.
I'm with you too. Yeah. I mean, what's worse, being addicted to marijuana or being addicted to Percocet, Vicodin?
That was his point. His point was, look, they didn't tell me to go home and just sleep it off. They handed me stuff to alleviate the pain that was just as bad as the pot I was smoking. Because, man, you would take those and you would feel worse, and you would also get addicted to them, and that created a whole world of problems, but they would hand them out like candy. So he makes a good point.